And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's good, everybody? Pete and Nick back with you, NHL Fantasy on Ice, just about a week away from the start of the NHL season, the preseason, full-blown right now, so we're going to get right into it. Also, some great reaction, Nick, right? Long time no see, buddy, after seeing you a couple days ago for the big, truly NHL Fantasy on Ice draft.
And I truly still feel fantastic off the vibes of that draft. Just a tremendous job by the NHL. Thanks to Truly. I actually snuck a couple home, if you can believe it, Petey. Yes, sir.
Nice. We had a couple after the show. It was good. I liked the watermelon kiwi. That was my favorite one.
Yeah.
But no, it was cool, man. We were having a couple sips during the show. We were dishing it around with some of our best friends in the industry, right? Chris Meany, Lauren Jabara, Anna Dua. The whole crew was there. Everybody should go back and hit replay and check it out, especially if you're prepping for your upcoming draft. A lot of people, most people, will be drafting between now and the start of the season. Nick, what was a big takeaway? I think the goalie strategy can be kind of translated into real drafts, because it was a smaller draft. It was 8 teams and 64 picks, but I think some of the trends in that draft can be carried over to the real deal.
Yeah, and on top of that, I thought it was a unique atmosphere having the chance to do it on YouTube and chirp your opponent right in front of you. Normally, you would do it in a chat, so I think that added an extra bonus to everything there. And you had the Truly in. It's always a great time. That's the one thing I had circled, Pete, for today's podcast, was sort of the goalie carousel, if you will. We did see the goalie run. We did see Shesterkin and Vasilevskiy go 1 and 2, but then there was a sizable gap after Ilya Sorokin. We can start there. It goes 15 to Lebov. Maybe a bit of a stretch, but again, there's potential for this guy to be the best goaltender on the planet. No doubt about that.
I trust the player. I just don't love the team that much to take him that early, with all due respect to Lebov. I know he's an Islander fan. I know James has made that same type of claim that he's just as good as Shesterkin is, and that's very fair. But once again, I mean, it's a little hard to take a goalie that high, especially when you consider Shesterkin and Vasilevskiy didn't go in the top 10, right? Adam Fox rounded out the top 10, which was a little bit of a surprise. I think it's warranted, but again, most people will probably be dipping into Igor and or Vasi at pick 7 or 8, somewhere around there. And then there's a big drop off. Like after that, I'm probably not touching a goalie again until the mid 20s or something like that personally. And then when you get to, like Chris Meany, we give him a shout out. He ignored goalies in the early rounds. He got the two best right wings in the game, Rantanen and Kucherov, on the wraparound in the first and second round. And then he got Marc-Andre Fleury, a workhorse veteran, right? Outside the top 50. Nice job, Means.
Very well done. It was great to see the unique strategies of all 8 participants. And I thought Meany had a really, really good one. The fact that he sort of waited when it came to the goaltenders. And we had talked about this almost ad nauseum here, right? In the offseason, how to approach goaltending and fantasy hockey and how volatile the position truly has come. So I think that was a nice piece of business by Means in general. 10 different goalies, Pete, as you know, drafted out of the 8 participants. You and Anna Dua, the only 2 to select 2 netminders. How about that?
Right. And when I said things translate, this is an example of what I was talking about. I think if you're looking at the top 50 or 60 picks, I like to come away with 2 goaltenders. And that's not to say that I'm going to go out there and reach for a player like Shesterkin or Vasilevskiy. Sometimes, like what Meany did, like you want to make sure that you have a couple of guys that could hit 100 points, right? Realistically speaking. So then, you know, when you get a little later, take, you know, your 3rd rounder and your 5th rounder, or your 4th rounder and your 6th rounder. Take care of your goaltending, then address everything else. And then in one of the late rounds, take like a breakout goaltender like Spencer, you know, middle late round Spencer Knight, Jeremy Swayman, somebody much later. You could always take like a Merz Likens or someone like that, or a Pavel Francouz from a safe team. But like, that's kind of what I do. First 6 rounds, I take 2 goaltenders, and then I kind of sit back and wait and take like a guy in the later rounds with some upside.
And of course, you have to adapt on the fly when it comes to a draft. A lot can change really, really quickly. I think another thing, Pete, I noticed was a lot of people are sleeping on the Tampa Bay Lightning across the board, aside from Vasilevskiy. Even Nikita Kucherov slides into the 1st round. Stamkos, Braden Point, I think we determined was the steal of the draft. Why are people sleeping on a team that's won two cups in the last three seasons, Pete?
I mean, it's just kind of unprecedented that a team gets to the finals this many times in a row. They're at three in a row. They're still such a tough out in the playoffs as long as their big five is healthy. So, and that's the good thing with Braden Point. And he went 62 to Lauren Jabara from picks wise. That was a nice pick by her. And of course, she got to watch him against the Avalanche in our, you know, a little bit in the cup final, but he was banged up, right? He didn't, he didn't play much of the playoffs at all. So that was the concern with Braden Point. But when he's with Kucherov, and it doesn't matter who's on the left wing, right? Whether it's Stamkos or someone like Hagel or Ross Colton or Alex Killorn, it doesn't matter. That's one of the best duos in the league when healthy. So yeah, truly steal of the draft was Braden Point.
Hey, I know we're going to do some bold predictions next week, Pete, but I talked about this at the U2 draft. Nikita Kucherov, man, I got some coin flying his way this season, if you know what I'm saying. I just keep looking at last year's numbers, you know, what he's done in his career, 25 goals, 44 assists, 69 points in 47. I start to prorate those numbers. Not too shabby. I'm not going to give too much away, Pete, but Tampa in general, there's a lot of value with that team. You know, looking across the draft, even getting an Alexander Barkov 16th, I think clearly there's a lot of intrigue around Calgary and Florida going into this season too.
Right. And I think just centers in general always slip in some of these drafts. And I know Anna took Mika Zibanejad pretty late. I mean, that could have been called one of the steals of the draft as well. When you think about the Rangers' first power play potency, just a really exciting group looking to build off what they started last year and still some young talent to integrate throughout the lineup. But yeah, Kucherov is as good as anybody, really. I mean, if you're going to say that Nikita Kucherov is going to be healthy for a full season, he should be a top five fantasy pick and probably be taken ahead of a Kale McCarr or something like that. The problem is, right, 2 years ago, he missed the whole season. Last year, he missed the start of the season, large chunk. So there is an injury concern, not as much with Stamkos anymore, crazy enough, Nick. It's more with Kucherov now.
And you talk about injuries, Pete. I believe I was the only one to take an injured player. Correct me if I'm wrong, scanning over the first 64 picks, or the only 64 picks. I took Brad Marchand at 48. We discussed it during the draft. Again, I just think there's a lot of value in this player. And knowing the determination and fire of Brad Marchand, Pete, would we be shocked if he comes back before he's expected to come back and then stars on the top line? It's like the last dance for the Boston Bruins. Brad Marchand has been a staple in top 10 in fantasy rankings for what, the last five, 6 years now?
Yeah, he gets under everybody's skin, of course, his opponents. It does some crazy stuff sometimes, but the best thing that he does is lead all left wings in points over the past five or six seasons combined. So, and there are some damn good players at the left wing position, including Ovechkin, including Huberdeau, and everybody down the list. So that's high praise for him. Once he's back, he should be a top 10 fantasy producer, maybe even top five himself. That's what we've seen from him in recent years. So I like that strategy. And I think that's a big part of drafts this particular season, because you see guys right in the preseason, you know, falling with injuries. Gabriel Landeskog is going to miss some time here. John Tavares is going to miss at least 3 weeks with an injury. Trevor Zegras got banged up. Keep an eye on that one in the preseason last night before we recorded. Brock Besser is going to also miss 3 to 4 weeks for the Vancouver Canucks. So you start to look at those implications, of course, like you probably want more likely to pick up Arturi Lehkonen with the injuries to Landeskog and Nichushkin right now, Nick, right? But really, you also kind of look at how much value you can get in those players that are injured, because once you see that, right, that plus sign, the medical sign in your draft order, most people avoid those type of players.
Well, firstly, shout out to friend of the podcast, Adam Henrique, who steps in to fight Jan Jenik following that ugly hit, I would call it, last night on Trevor Zegras. We hope it's a speedy recovery. And that's another thing I want to get back to as well later on, maybe, is Mason McTavish was the only rookie taken in our draft by Anna Dua ahead of somebody like Trevor Zegras. But you're so right. And I know producer extraordinaire Bob Bender loves his DFS plays. A lot of DFS value in these injuries. Alex Kerfoot, Pete, I don't know if you saw this, played defense last night for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They are just battered and bruised right now. But I think when the season starts, no John Tavares, Alex Kerfoot, will have the attachment to William Nylander. So I really, really like that value on the second line for the Leafs. Perhaps some power play two opportunity there. Lekkonen's the big one for me, Pete. You have the opportunity to play with McKinnon and Rantanen on that top line. PP2, PP1, even for Lekkonen. Like, there's a lot of value in the player. And I'd even think about maybe drafting him as a late flyer just because we don't really know much about Landeskog right now.
Right. And he also averaged better than a hit per game last year, which a lot of people don't realize. And he was a bit closer to a point per game. You know, he wasn't point per game, but he was very productive since coming over from Montreal to Colorado as well and fared well in the playoffs. He's not going to have Kadri on that second line anymore, but he's going to have some nice options there. And when he plays with Nichushkin on the second line, when the team is back at full strength, that's not a bad spot to be in for one of the safest teams out there. But then when you get that look with McKinnon and Rantanen or both, I mean, it's going to be a big time streaming potential. He was already on our deep sleeper list and he's someone that is now a regular sleeper because I would be surprised if he didn't get drafted in a standard league right now.
What's your read on Vancouver? So Brock Besser goes down, hand injury, 3 to 4 weeks. It could be great things for your boy Vasily Podkolzin, right?
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of when I heard about the injury. Of course, it's unfortunate with Besser. He always deals with injuries. It seems like he's never hit 30 goals in his career. You hope that he's not going to miss that much time, where maybe he could still do that this season. But yeah, for Podkolzin, for Kuzmenko, players like that, Connor Garland, there's going to be a lot of, you know, streaming value and things like that. But again, Podkolzin, I feel like, could be one of the breakout wings in the NHL either this season or next season, but it's coming very soon. And I just like the way that that offense was rolling, right? Rocking and rolling under Bruce Boudreau. So Bruce Boudreau right now is among my top three Jack Adams Award candidates, because I think him having a full season to work with is going to make Vancouver's offense very dangerous and make them a player for a playoff spot in the Pacific.
Yeah, they're a scary team. You look at that depth and you look at that goaltending. I have some serious concerns with that back end. But certainly, as I mentioned during the draft as well, Bruce Boudreau, every team he coaches provides offense like crazy. And I think this team is going to score, but can they keep the puck out of the net? I want to touch on Montreal. Saw a bit of Juraj Slafkovský, the number one overall pick against the Maple Leafs on Wednesday night. Wasn't really a factor, but again, you have to take everything you see in the preseason mostly with a grain of salt. But I've been consistent with saying, Pete, I would not be shocked if Slafkovský does not start the season in the NHL. A lot can change, but I think you look up, you know, up front specifically for Montreal. I know there's a couple guys hurt right now, but it's really, really crowded, not to mention an injury. You just talked about a Nick Suzuki, the newly minted captain. Doesn't sound like he's going to miss much time, though.
Yeah, the injury update sounds a little encouraging for him, and they're going to need him. I mean, they're already going to be playing with Jake Allen in the net because Carey Price is going to miss a lot of the season, maybe all of it. And you don't really have a defenseman. That was one thing I was thinking about, right? They traded away Romanov. They traded away Jeff Petrie. Who's going to run the power play in Montreal? They really
Chris
don't
Weidman.
Have anybody. They have Mike Matheson that they picked
Weidman.
Up. I mean, it's really ugly. They might have whoever that is might be the worst power play quarterback in the entire league out of all 32 teams, because most teams have a strong one. So that's a weak point. If they're not going to be good on the power play, I just don't see them being able to hang with a lot of those teams in the division. So therefore, you know, when someone like Johnny Laz in our mock draft reached for Cole Caulfield, I love Cole Caulfield. I love him under St. Louis. I just don't trust that team at all. And Slafkovský's a big kid. I think he's going to fare pretty well if he gets the opportunity, but the ceiling can only be so high on a team like that, Nick.
Pete, we had to check for vital signs in our boy Johnny Lazarus after you body bagged him in the draft. I'm sure working with me the last 9 months set you up for that chirp. That was outstanding about Cale Makar. And I just thought it brought some enthusiasm, some pizzazz to the draft. So job well done, my friend. But yeah, you're right. Like, I think you have to look at positioning like that. You look at a potential Nick Suzuki injury. What does that mean for a Cole Caulfield? But I still am behind Caulfield. I have him in a keeper league, 22 goals, 37 games last year under Martin St. Louis. I just think he has the potential to score 40 and be in the upper echelon when it comes to goal scoring this early. So I'm probably going near that file, to be honest. But I understand totally what you're saying. I think from the Montreal perspective, no Carey Price again, Jake Allen's team in a contract year. You look at that division, how much better teams like, you know, Detroit and Ottawa have gotten. I think it's going to be a long season for Montreal. And quite frankly, they'll never admit this, Pete, but I think they're going to be okay with that. No.
Yeah. It all depends who they get in the draft next year. If they go that route, of course, they pick first this year, could certainly be in the running for that once again. And we've seen that happen too, where the same team has picked first, maybe not in consecutive years, but right, sec two times in four years for the Sabres, and the Oilers had a bunch in the same decade. So don't be surprised if Montreal's in that conversation again. And yeah, the I actually noticed you shaved your mustache, right?
So I got bullied
when I chirped you about that too. I said you were wannabe Austin Matthews or wannabe Philip Forsberg, and now it's gone.
No, they actually almost didn't let me on the flight. They're like, that thing's too hideous to get on the flight back home to Canada, so you got to stay in the States. No, it was just time for a change. I got bullied big time with the draft. No, I'm kidding. I just like to mix it up with the facial hair. Try to see what works, you know. Playoff baseball's around the corner. I'm feeling good. Don't worry about it, Pete. I love you.
Love you too, man.
So kumbaya again.
Let's look at Jason Robertson. What's going on with this situation? I saw he was drafted. I think Vecchio took him. Tom Vecchio from FanDuel. We appreciate everybody that jumped on the show with us. Again, check out the Truly NHL Fantasy on Ice mock draft. You can click on the YouTube thing and watch it. It's about an hour and a half. It's a really good listen. But Jason Robertson's still an unsigned RFA. I mean, Dallas has got to get something done here. Could you even imagine that team going into the season without Jason Robertson, whether they don't sign him or, you know, if he gets traded or something like that? People are throwing around things like that too. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think it's all a bargaining tactic from both sides. We're going to see a lot of that crazy stuff hit the wire as we get closer and closer to puck drop. As we get into the conversation about preseason lines, they're looking at Marchment, Hintz, and Gurianov, obviously as a step back from Robertson. Pete, I think it's cat and mouse right now. We've seen this time and time again, say in the last decade. And I think it was profoundly clear like a month ago when the owner of the Dallas Stars said, I don't like going long-term out of ELCs. And here we are, Jason Robertson. Dude, he's got to be one of the more, he's got to be the most underrated player in my opinion. I know Kyle Connor's in that conversation, but I think if you were to poll 100 people who just casually watch hockey, they would not realize that Jason Robertson has a point per game in his first two seasons in the league or whatever it is. Like he is that outstanding and he means that much to Dallas. And I think he has more bargaining power than Dallas is giving him credit for. But the problem with this, Pete, is that Dallas wants to go short term and he wants to go long term. Maybe they meet in the middle, but I think until they find a resolution, I think both sides have to realize no Robertson, that's troublesome for that team.
It's really unfortunate because him and Ottinger are the new faces of the franchise, but financially speaking, I mean, they have as much money tied up to two players as any team does in the whole league. And the two players are Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin that are on the worst side of their careers. Let's be honest. I mean, those guys are barely fantasy relevant anymore, whereas they were top end fantasy talent when they signed those deals couple years ago. So that's the problem. Mason Marchman, if you're looking at someone to capitalize on this situation, we all love what he did last year on the third line for the Florida Panthers. Came out, scored two goals on seven shots in one preseason game. He's a stud. We're hoping that he could get a first or second line role this year and expand on what he did last year, where he was close to point per game on Florida's third line.
I cannot wait for the shot props. Cannot wait for that value coming up in a couple of weeks with puck drop. Pete, the lines. Yeah, like that's a big thing for me. I think there's so much value from a DFS standpoint entering the season. And again, a lot can change with respect to Robertson. I just think these two sides have to figure it out. It's paramount. You have a new coach. Everything you just mentioned with Jake Ottinger, you want to start fresh and good to go. And the fact your best player is not in the lineup, somebody's got to figure this out. But am I shocked? I am not, Pete, because of the comments a couple of weeks ago.
So some other preseason standouts that I was jotting down. So Jesperi Kotkaniemi, two assists in his first preseason game. Again, I think we've all been speculating maybe he could be a guy that gets bumped up to the top six, right, with Vincent Trocheck no longer there. So are you buying Jesperi Kotkaniemi at all as the top contender to not only get the number two center job, but potentially play with Svechnikov and maybe have sneaky fantasy value.
I will take the wait and see approach. The line we've been seeing so far here early on is Svechnikov, Kotkaniemi, and Martin Natchez. The Natchez boy, if you want a really good fantasy name, that sticks perfectly if you're a wrestling fan. I can't get there just yet on KKP. I just think we've seen too many inconsistencies in his game over the first couple seasons, making the move over from Montreal to Carolina. So to me, it would be a wait and see approach. How about you?
Definitely wait and see. Waiver wire pickup. I'm not drafting him
exactly
in a regular league unless it's super deep or something like that. Other guys that are, you know, playing in the top six that I think are worth a look. Dylan Strome, 2 goals in his first preseason game for the Washington Capitals. Of course, Backstrom's out for a while, so keep an eye on him. Couple other guys that have jumped out to me. I wonder, I always look at Arizona, and even last year when Clayton Keller and Nick Schmaltz had such great years, close to point per game, they had nobody as their center, right? It was like Boyd. I mean, can one of those guys that they drafted in recent years step up and be their number one center? I know the one kid's playing in college again, right? Cooley, and there's Geeky. We'll see, but there's also Barrett Hayton.
Yeah.
Who I think is really showing things up here in the preseason. 3 points in 2 games, 11 shots on goal. So just somebody to keep an eye on. Again, don't be hesitant, especially if your league doesn't count plus minus, to dive into a team like Arizona, because even a Shane Gostis pair, right, last year had like 50 points for them as a defenseman. So there's hidden value out there in the desert.
Somebody has to score. I always like to put it that way, even on teams like Arizona, who we expect to be just terrible this season. Contract year, Shane Gostisbehere. I'm behind that. Take a flyer on your fourth defenseman right there. Nick Ritchie's another guy I would throw into the conversation for Arizona. Ever since being picked up by the Maple Leafs, he's turned into a pretty good player once again. It's just like that that Leafs bump, if you will, or lack thereof, goes to Arizona. So yeah, I do think there's some DFS value. I'm not sure how many Coyotes are going to go in your top 250, but there is the potential for guys to erupt randomly. I was going to ask you, too, about Chicago. You talk about, you know, potential players for the number one overall pick. Right now, Patrick Kane, he's skating with Max Domi. Any interest in Max Domi or like a Taylor Radish from a DFS standpoint, maybe?
I saw that. I saw it was a little with Domi and Radish, a little bit with Domi and Athanasiou. That one makes me a little more excited, but no, it's going to be Kane carrying those guys for as long as he's with the team. It's not going to be those guys bringing any added elements to what Patrick Kane does so well. If anything, it could hold him back a little bit. We expect Kane to be a point per game or better like he always is. But this is a skeleton crew out there, right, that he's going to be playing with. It's pretty ugly. It's one of the worst lineups I've ever seen. So, yeah, Max Domi has covered hits through the years. The 1 year he had 70-plus points. I just total wait and see. I'm not investing in him just yet. Keep an eye out for him week one or two on the waiver wire if he has maybe a couple of multi-point games or something like that.
We do not sugarcoat things here on the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. Subscribe and listen. Never forget that. The Los Angeles Kings, Pete, I am loving their top line. I know it's early again. I said off the top, take everything you see with a grain of salt, but what a start for Kevin Fiala and the potential of Kempe, Kopitar, and Fiala as a line. Very underrated in my opinion.
Right. And don't forget some of these other categories too. Like we always talk about how Kopitar is a bargain, but Kopitar, I think, was like second among forwards in block shots last season. We all know he's a two-way dominating player, but keep an eye on him for those categories. And Fiala, don't be surprised if Fiala and Kopitar together both eclipse 80 points this year. And also if Kempe replicates what he did last year when he had, 30-plus goals and 200-plus shots and led the team in both categories. So that's a dynamite first line. It might be one of the 15 best lines in the league. And nobody other than Nick Alberga is talking about it. So I like that you brought that one up.
Thank you. Nick Alberga sans mustache because I was bullied. No, I'm kidding. The New York Rangers on Broadway, where I just was at and where you're at. I think there's obviously some value in that top six. We've been seeing Kreider, Zibanejad, my boy Abe Blay, Sammy Blay returning from injury last year, playing his first full season with the Rangers. Panarin, Trocheck, Kravtsov. The Rangers in general, Pete, I think the expectation is there for the next step. But from a fantasy point of view, there's a lot of players I think people want to own, no?
Definitely. So Trocheck's in, number two center. Vetrano's out. Ryan Strome is out. Andrew Kopp is out. They're playing for different teams now. So you see Blay up there, up top. You see Kravtsov a little bit. That's someone just keep in the rearview mirror. Be mindful of him. He has some upside. Lafreniere could get a shot in those situations as well. And I love to see guys on those potent lines that bring some physicality. Even Lafreniere had like a hit per game last year. Sammy Blay, more than 2.5 hits per game last season. So I know he was really, you know, banged up and stuff like that, but he has brought it in the past, and he's never played with players even close to this caliber offensively. So maybe he could turn into like a Tom Wilson light or something like that if he ends up sticking in the top six with either Zibanejad or Trocheck.
Gotta love those hybrid players. I had the eye emojis watching the Devils the other night. Love the looks of Palat Hughes and Alex Holtz, who, again, I think is a wild card, Pete, for the Calder Trophy this season. But Jack Hughes, I don't know about you, I am really, really excited to see what he can put together. Health first and foremost, you know, fingers crossed he can play the whole year. I still think he flirts with 100 points. I just have that feeling, and maybe that's unrealistic, but I'm going to stick with it, Pete.
Well, kudos to Lindy Ruff. We've been critical of his line combinations to say the least. I know Anna has for sure with what he did last year mid-season, but that's probably my favorite combination. Andre Palat, Jack Hughes, Alexander Holtz. Holtz was a stud in the AHL. We all know he's going to be their right wing top liner of the future. So that is what I'm looking forward to in Jersey. If they have any hope to God that they could get into the playoff conversation, they need Hughes to be healthy for 82 games to even have a chance.
Anything else, Pete, before we wrap here?
I got something.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Bobby, wow, my voice. My voice is out of tune here. This is not fantasy related, but this is a hearty from Pete and I, a hearty congratulations to you, Nick Alberga, as you landed a new gig, huh? What's going on? What's the new gig? What's happening?
I couldn't believe somebody wanted me. Yes, but thank you so much for that. I've joined Daily Faceoff, going to be doing some fantasy work for them. The Leafs Nation, I'll be writing for them and covering the Leafs. Got something coming up next week that we're going to present to the population as well. And the Nation Network is my new employer.
Okay. And to make it clear for everyone, all the loyal listeners, Nick Alberga will still be hosting the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast, co-hosting with the one and only Peter Jensen. So Petey, Nicky Alberga, man, getting it done. A hearty congratulations.
Definitely, man. Big congrats. It was great to have a drink with you the other day after the show.
And, a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah, a couple. And and enjoy that good news. So we're happy for you, buddy.
Thank you.
Definitely one of the best in the business, and it's great to see. So we're going to be back with you guys next week for bold predictions dropping on Monday. And then we're going to have a betting preview bold with Michael Lieboff, who was also on the Fantasy on Ice draft presented by Truly the other day. You know, he's going to bring all the different awards angles and stuff, Stanley Cup futures appeal and all those type of long shots that you want to see. So bold predictions and betting preview next week. Two episodes a week, Nick. Sounds like the season is getting closer.
And reminder to everyone, Michael Lieboff, he landed, we can't mention this enough, he landed the coach of the year with Sutter last year at 50-1. So if you want some value plays and some analysis on the odds, Michael Lieboff is your guy.
And he loves Ilya Sorokin enough to take him 15th overall in an 8-person fantasy draft on YouTube. So we'll lay it at that. A lot of Yahoo drafts coming up in the next little while here, Pete.
Yeah, definitely. And I've been if you haven't noticed, I've been talking a lot about hits in this show. So check out our NHL.com fantasy hits draft guide. It's the exact piece of paper that I bring into my draft. And I try to get as many guys from that list as I can. You know, the names range from Brady Tkachuk and Evander Kane, the more obvious ones. And then there are some hidden gems that maybe, you know, hit a little bit more last year than you might have expected. So whether it's a forward or a defenseman and some guys that also cover blocks, it's a really good resource. Go out and check out the Truly Fantasy Draft. Once again, watch the whole thing. It'll get you prepared for the early rounds of your draft. and check out the other season preview episodes, right? We did mock draft 1.0, stat projections, off-season moves, the whole thing. So go out there and check it out. Sleepers, bounce backs, right? The whole thing.
We've given truly enough pops. Petey, I gave you a piece of paper for Yahoo. Can you do that read, please? I mean, Nick Alberga set you up perfectly for the Yahoo read. It's nowhere to be found. I mean, we're still worried about truly. Can we just read it, please? Go ahead.
Let's do it, baby. So for top shelf fantasy hockey action this season, play Yahoo Fantasy Hockey. Yahoo Fantasy Hockey makes it easy to play, draft, and manage your league. So choose the best way to play fantasy hockey, Yahoo Fantasy Hockey, an official season-long fantasy partner of the National Hockey League. So again,
very nice. Very nice stunt. Very well done. And for those listening over at Yahoo, can you give us a retweet once in a while? We did the read. Give us a retweet. You have a great little fantasy platform, but, you know, pump out the Fantasy on Ice promos. Okay, that's it from me. You won't hear from me for quite a bit. Mark Kunz, you can, I think that's how you pronounce your name. You could sleep easy out wherever you are. Croatia, maybe. I'm not sure exactly of your location, but I chimed in for you. You're the only guy that wants to hear my voice. So I did it for you, Mark. Okay, Petey, put a bow on it.
Speaking of international fans, if you're listening to us from Sweden, Finland, Denmark, Australia, wherever it is, leave us a review and let us know, because I know we see the numbers. People are listening to us in other countries besides just US and Canada. So everybody leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify to show your support. For Bob Bender, Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, talk to you next time, next Monday. Bold predictions, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Looking forward to it.